God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Today, Brother Hutchings and Southwest Radio's Vice President, Dr. Kenneth Hill, complete their three-day series of programs talking about Brother Hutchings' new book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation. They'll get into the final section, which is entitled Terminal Apostasies. It's a most interesting book, but Brother Hutchings, just who is this book for?
Thank you, Brother Jerry. I think it's a book to have your loved ones, your family members read, because I think you could witness to them about getting ready for the time when there's not going to be time anymore in this generation. Because one of these days, this generation is going to close. The door will close on this last generation. And what's beyond that door, according to the way I understand the Bible, is the Great Tribulation. And you don't want to go into the Great Tribulation that's coming up. Brother Ken, we appreciate your being with us. And again, I want to encourage our listeners to perhaps get an extra copy of this book, maybe for your pastor, or maybe you have a loved one, or maybe you can put one in your doctor's office. It'll make a good tabletop book.
Well, indeed it will. And Noah, thank you very much for allowing me to be on the air with you and to discuss the book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation. I enjoy any time we can get together, even if it is by phone. And we always have a good time, especially as we talk about God's Word and what's to come and how He's working in our lives. So we're enjoying being with you on these days. I want to encourage folks that if they are looking for a gift, and I don't know how you are, but I know how I am, from time to time, very often, we need a gift for somebody. And we don't need some fancy prize or some expensive bauble of one sort or another, but we like to give things that are useful. And this book is a useful book, for especially for Christian people who want to understand, but also just to introduce the topic of prophecy and to introduce the truth of God's Word to people. It's an easy read. Anything that Noah Hutchings writes is easily read. He's one of the most flowing authors I have ever read in my entire life. And so it's an easy read. It is a quick read in the sense that these chapters are very short and you can read through them. It has very many beautiful and important illustrations, charts, graphs, pictures that lead you right through the subject matter in addition to all of the fine words that Noah has written. And it is a coffee table style sized book, 8.5 by 11 pages. So it can sit on your coffee table, and you will enjoy having it there for your doctor or your attorney or for your CPA or for whomever else that may have a waiting room. That would be a wonderful idea as well. And you can also, of course, get it for your church library, one for your pastor. My goodness, I just recommend it highly. 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation by Noah W. Hutchings. Now, Noah, we've been talking about what was going on in Israel and the signs as they pertain to the last days there. In that section, you have one final chapter. We were going so fast yesterday. I want to go back to this. It's sign number 36, and it's all about this hiding place for Israel. Now, you and I have been there. You've been there many more times than I've been there, but it is a fascinating place. It's one of those places you look at and you say, wow. Well, the first time I was in awe and wonder and amazement of it, and by the time I had visited the last time after several visits, I became even more amazed at this place. It's called Petra. Tell me about it.
Petra, of course, is in southern Jordan. It's a cave city. The buildings are carved out of tall cliffs, limestone, red cliffs. It was the old city of Esau. He went down and chased the Horites out after he lost part of his birthright. And he went down and established his kingdom in Petra. And I think Petra is also where indicate that Job lived also. But we know that Israel is to be refounded as a nation, and they're to score great victories according to Zechariah, which they have. But the story of Israel's trouble is not quite over. According to Jesus in Matthew 24, indicating, I believe, as he come back into the land, there would come a time when Jesus said that those in Judea, meaning the Jerusalem area, would have to immediately run for the mountains, and not even going back into the house to get anything to eat, a bagel or a prayer shawl. Because if they didn't run for the mountains, they would all be killed. And then we read that 2/3 will be killed, 1/3 will escape in Zechariah. So the two scriptures together tell the story. And we see Israel today, there's going to be a peace treaty, we're told. Of course, there's already been 50, but that is not the peace treaty prophesied by Daniel, in which I think Israel is going to be disarmed as part of a general peace treaty. And we read that they will run for the mountains. 1/3 will escape. And they're going to be hid there or stay there for 3.5 years. I think this may come at the middle of the tribulation. So where are they going to go? Well, we're told that they will go to a place of caves. Well, we read in Isaiah 26 of that time, "Come, my people, enter there into thy chambers, and shut thy doors, and hide thyself, as it were, a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of this place to punish the inhabitants of the earth." So until the Lord comes back, I think the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, this Jewish remnant is going to be hid in a place of chambers or caves. We read in Psalm 60, "O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom?" Well, Edom is where Petra is. Petra was hidden for many, many years. Nobody knew, forgot it existed. Finally, when the Jews began coming back in the land, they found Petra again. It has been declared one of the 7 wonders of the world. I was there last year. People from all over the world are coming to Petra, thousands and thousands every day, to see this marvelous place. The streets have been repaired. When I first went there, there was only one hotel. Now there are 73 hotels. I think when Jesus warns Israel they're going to have to flee to the mountains or they all be killed, I think they're going to Petra. Petra is just on the other side of the Dead Sea at the southern end. And it's easily accessible. And I just think this is going to be the place. And we read in Isaiah that when the Lord comes back, that he will lead the people back out of that place. We read, "Who is it that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah?" Bozrah is just a suburb, north suburb of Petra. "That this is he that glorious, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save." And he goes on to describe about leading the people back into Israel. So I think Petra's been refound. It's been improved. I think it's the place, according to Scripture, where the remnant of Israel will hide for 3.5 years.
Well, Noah, when you've taken tours into Petra, and I've been with you there, we walk in the main section there, and we see the various Roman additions and whatever else. Are there hiding places up above that entrance area where we all seem to walk in the broad way there? Is that where they would be hiding, you think?
Where, Israel?
Yes.
Well, the whole city, you know, you go have to go through the Sikh to get into the city. It's about 30 feet wide, you know, and cliffs about 700 feet on each side. So I think 1/3 of the people of Jerusalem and Judea, the area around Jerusalem, you know, there's going to be several thousand people there, and I think there are plenty of caves there and dwellings to hide. The water system is very good now. The roads are, the utilities are fine. Rich land, a lot of goats, sheep, cattle in the area.
Well, it just goes on forever. I mean, you know, what the tourist sees there at first blush is not at all what all's there. And it has so much room. I mean, it's 100 square miles or more, isn't it?
No, it's actually about 35 square miles.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's a big city.
Oh, that is. That is a big city. And I was thinking of Little Petra and the sort of suburbs there, too.
Well, maybe if you include those.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly is something to think about, and it's part of these 40 irrefutable signs of the last generation that Noah W. Hutchings has written about, and we have in this beautiful tabletop book. It is filled with illustrations, with pictures, with photographs, with charts and graphs, and it is a real good investment for you, for your family, for your pastor, for your friends. Now, Noah, we've talked about the secular signs. We've talked about the signs in Israel. What do you mean by terminal apostasies, which is how you have titled part three of the book?
Well, they're terminal apostasies or terminal judgments. You know, there are some judgments that God will not overlook. You know, he will not overlook people ignoring him. Israel ignored God. They turned to other gods and worshiped other gods. And we read what happened to them. And also, God will not allow a social order to degenerate to the level of animals, because that's not why he created man. And he will not allow them to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. There are 30 warnings in the Bible that if nations degenerate to the status of Sodom and Gomorrah, God says, I will destroy you, like Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And that's where we're at today, Ken. And you know it, and I know it.
Well, we have these terminal judgments, or these things of apostasy that would cause judgment to come. You have a sign number 37, public education and evolution. How does that fit in?
Well, you know, Ken, when I started to school back in the, I think, 1927, first thing we did was read a scripture or have prayer, salute the flag. But now if you did that, that's illegal. They'll throw you in jail if you do that. They'd throw the teachers in jail or close the schools because they say that is against the law. And there is a reason for that. And we read in Romans 1 that the degeneration of a nation or social order starts with vain imaginations. And at Sodom and Gomorrah, we read, evidently, they had vain imaginations. They imagined that we came up from crawling things to birds to four-footed beasts and so on and so on. And that's where we came from. There is no creator God. That all of this came by accident. And then after that happened, they began to act like animals. And the women with women and men with men. And they took God out of their knowledge. You cannot have evolution and God in the same school books. It's impossible, because you cannot believe that everything was an accident and to have the biblical truth in there that we have a creator who created everything. It's impossible. And when you have evolution in the school and they generate to the status of animals in their vain imagination, then they become like Sodom and Gomorrah, women with women, men with men, and committing those things which are vile in God's sight. And that's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's 30 warnings in the Bible that nations don't do this. Yet that's what we're doing today.
Indeed. In the education system, Noah.
It's coming through the education system.
When we see evolution taught as fact, and God, of course, having been thrown out of the schools, as you've already mentioned, we have a group of youngsters who become adults who have never understood the truth that they were created in the image of God. In fact, I noted that in your chapter there on this very thing, you mentioned that there's a huge percentage of youngsters that if they are not in church by the time that they get out of high school, they'll never be in church.
That is true. That's what statistics claim. Barna claims that in statistics. And only about 10% of even Christians' homes, their children, ever go to church. They've been turned away by public education. They've taught there is no God, that everything is an accident, that it came through by evolution without help of any creator or any outside power. So everything is an accident. We are not responsible to any higher authority than ourselves. That's what they're being taught.
Well, you know, Noah, that brings us to sign number 38, which you have in your book, which is abortion. Because if you have no responsibility to a higher power, if you have no authority over you, if you are not created in the image of God, you're just a chance, you're just an accident, you're just a happenstance, then why not kill the baby in the womb?
Yes. I present, I think, about 3 or 4 pages of statements by the early church fathers on abortion, and I think that is one of the major tragedies of this generation and why this generation is under judgment. I document all this. Clement of Alexandria, for example, in 195 A.D., said, "Fathers, forgetting about their children who have been exposed, often unknowingly, have intercourse with a son that has been debauched himself and with daughters who are prostitutes." He also said, "Although keeping parents and animals, they do not adopt an orphan child. Rather, they expose children who have been born in a home. Yet they take up young birds, so they prefer irrational creatures to rational ones." Tertullian says, "In our case, murder is once for all forbidden. Therefore, we may not destroy even the fetus in the womb while as yet the human being derives blood from other parts of the body for its substance. To hinder a birth is merely a speedier way to kill a human. It does not matter whether you take away a life that has been born or destroy one that is not yet born." That was Tertullian, 197 A.D. We could go on and on. Hippolytus, 225 A.D., "Women who were reputed believers began to resort to drugs for producing sterility. They also girded themselves around so as to expel what was being conceived, for they did not wish to have a child by either a slave or any common fellow, or concerned for that family in excessive wealth. So what great impiety the lawless one has advanced. He teaches treachery and murder at the same time." So even those who, child that are conceived out of wedlock, Hippolytus said you can't destroy them because you're destroying a life. So that was the position of the early church, Ken.
Absolutely, and it's the position of the true church today, because we know from scientific information now that the baby is a baby from conception. I mean, it is beyond my understanding as to how anyone can see these 3D images in the womb and not be struck by the truth that the baby is alive. And so what we see in our society today is a judgment coming because of this murder of the unborn. Is that your position, Noah?
Yes. Sign number 39 puts the guilt on the preachers. Because we're told about preachers in the last days, too, in the book of Jude and in the book of Peter. So the guilt of the preachers in the pulpit today is they do not expose these crimes of society, the sins of society, the guilt of society, or do they condemn it? So they approve it by not condemning it, or exposing it, or mentioning it from the pulpit. So the initial guilt, or the final guilt, conclusive guilt rather, is upon the church, the pastors in the church. And we're told that that would happen in the last days.
You get pretty pointed in this book, and we're, You know, you point out people and you point out situations. I've never known you to be too reluctant to tell the truth, Noah, so thank you for doing that. When we see the numbers, the multitude of ministries that have strayed from the truth, and then these pastors, these ministers, and these members of the ministries, are they not going to be responsible for the lies that they've propagated?
Well, yes, that's where the conclusive guilt is placed in the Bible. And I'm concerned today that pastors are not speaking out on these things from the pulpit. There are some, thank God, but very, very few. And the last chapter in our book is Don't Ignore God. Jesus said he would come as a thief in the night. Also, Peter indicated that, and Paul indicated that. And even in Revelation, the Lord speaks from heaven, "Behold, I come as a thief." The fact that the majority of people today, even 90%, 95% of the Christians, are not aware of the signs of our times, or that the coming of the Lord could come in this generation from evidence of the signs of the times. And God is being ignored today. And when God is ignored, then the people perish. And God steps in and takes charge. And that's when judgment comes. As it came upon Israel, it came upon Rome. And we could go on and on in past civilizations, even going all the way back to Sodom and Gomorrah, when God sent angels to warn them, and they didn't heed the warning. Thank you, Ken, for being with us on these three programs, which we reviewed my book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation. I pray that many will get this book so that they can give the evidence to their friends, their loved ones, also a pastor, and ask your physician if you can put one in his lobby on the coffee table. Here now is Brother Jerry to give you the number to call, the address to write.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Our telephone number is 1-800-652-1144. The mailing address, Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Third way to contact us for the book is the Internet. It's at swrc.com on the World Wide Web. The book is offered for a contribution of $20 in the United States, $22 for Canadian listeners. If you want more than one, call for the gift amount. Call centers open from 7:30 in the morning until 6 in the evening Central Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation is printed on 8.5 by 11 inch pages, and there are 216 of them, each with important information showing how world events are fulfilling prophecy even now. Most of the signs come from the secular world. Brother Hutchings shares 24 of them. There are a dozen that he sees in Israel, and four more in the section you heard about today that he calls terminal apostasies. To get the book, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website address is swrc.com. Coming next over many of these stations is today's Bible in the News report. Join us tomorrow when Dr. Larry Spargimino visits with Eric Metaxas, author of a compelling book on the life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's on your Watchman on the Wall program, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. With today's report, here is board member Jerry Tyson.
Sir Edmund Burke opined long ago that the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is that good men do nothing. The Internet is our primary means of information distribution in this age of carefully controlled media. current congressional moves are afoot to allow the President of the United States the ability to hit a kill switch and shut down the Internet in case of a national emergency. In an article found, of all places, on the Internet at Personal Liberty Digest, June 23, 2010, we learned that Senator Joe Lieberman appeared on CNN's State of the Union with Candy Crowley on June 20th. Lieberman, a Connecticut Democrat turned independent, is a co-sponsor of the bill. Quoting the article, "The president will never take over the Internet," Lieberman, with a warm smile, assured the audience. "The government shouldn't take over the Internet. The president would only do that in catastrophic times. Not going to do it every day. It's only for national security. Relax." Mr. Lieberman said, "Right now, China, the government, can disconnect parts of its Internet in case of war. We need to have the ability to do that, too." Offering opinion, the article continued, "Of course, in China, the government runs over its people with tanks. It drags them off to prisons without trial for practicing Christianity or saying something the government doesn't like, where they disappear forever, probably with a bullet in the brain." Again, opinion, "I wonder if Lieberman thinks our government should have those abilities as well. China also censors the Internet every day to stifle the free flow of information because it can." End of article quote. "The fascists who control our government hate freedom of speech and press. The Internet is one of the few places where there is free exchange of information. While we are all concerned of potential attack from foreign interests, our leaders fear they cannot control the flow of information." Going back to the article, CFR member and Bilderberger Zbigniew Brzezinski recently lamented that people are becoming more aware of what's going on in the world than ever before, and this awareness is harming their agenda. So the United States government is gearing up for a crackdown on the information flow, or at least to have that ability when needed. Ignorant people, after all, are easier to control. "While an internet kill switch in the hands of the wrong people would seriously curtail our freedom, information is not enough. Truth and information with motivation make a difference. The ultimate truth is God's word. It, above all other information, has the ability to transform lives. John 8:31-32, "Then Jesus said to those which believed on him, 'If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'"
That's today's Bible in the News report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports are published each month in a booklet. To get a complimentary copy, call, write, or visit our website. Phone 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website is at swrc.com. Join us for the next Your Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report.